Welcome to Science in Action from the BBC World Service with me, Roland Pease, and this week we're getting high on Higgses, the subatomic particle proved to exist a decade back and which they're about to study in even more detail at the LHC Atom Smasher near Geneva. And you've about 20 minutes to work out what connects the Higgs to a new study showing how highly our relatively recent ancestors venerated chickens.
In many cultures around the world, there is an equation between geographical distance and supernatural distance. So if something has come from far, far away, it's often associated with gods and ancestors. And that's what we think is happening with the chickens when they first arrive into new areas.
Many times over the past 2 years, we've wondered on the programme which tissues get infected by SARS-CoV-2, besides the airways and lungs, of course. And particularly whether the virus can lurk in some parts long after the initial infection. Lurking virus that can't be killed off is an even bigger problem with HIV, which is famously difficult to eradicate even with powerful antiviral drugs. So my eye was caught by a recent study using a body scanning technique called PET, P-E-T, to specifically spot HIV-infected tissues. Tim Henrich of the University of California, San Francisco, led the study.
One of the main challenges of treating or curing chronic viral infections like HIV is really understanding how they infect various tissues and persist within the entire body over time. You know, HIV persists indefinitely in people living with HIV, even in those who have been taking suppressive antiviral medications for years. And really, this is a tissue-based disease that we have little understanding about how virus infects those tissues over time.
And so in this study, you're using PET scanning to sort of find where those HIV particles are hiding. And just to start with, PET scanning, this is positron emission tomography. You're basically sending in radioactive atoms that will then sort of shine and you can detect them.
That's correct. So how PET scanning or positron emission tomography works is we use a drug or an antibody in this case that's labeled with an isotope that is weakly radioactive and releases positrons, these radioactive particles, and the scanner can detect in 3D throughout the tissues where these infectious particles are coming from. So we can essentially see where our drug, our tracer, or antibody is in three dimensions throughout the entire body in real time.
And in this case, the antibody, you used an antibody to target the tracer to the surface proteins that you find on HIV.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we used an antibody that neutralizes HIV by binding to the outer protein shell or envelope of the virus. And we're able to identify where areas of viral protein production exist in tissues using this antibody that's specific for HIV.
And what sort of patients did you use this on?
For example, we have been using it to look at persistent infection in people that are not taking antiviral therapy. So, for example, people that are viremic or have ongoing replication. This is really designed to test the sensitivity and the utility of using this approach. But we've also been looking at people that have been on long-term antiviral therapy or anti-HIV medications for years to decades to see if we can find residual virus even after, you know, a long-term treatment. And we've also been looking at people that are able to control their virus without the need of medications. These are the minority of individuals who are infected with HIV that we call controllers or elite controllers that are able to really control infection. And we're trying to understand exactly how these people are different from those that require antiviral therapy. And finally, we're looking at responses to different therapies, whether they're HIV curative strategies or antiviral treatments, and also looking to see if we can identify areas of persistent virus when people come off of therapy. So if they stop their antiviral treatment, we know that, you know, within days to weeks or so that nearly everyone has their virus return and starts replicating in the blood. And we're really using this modality to really find these areas of persistence that lead to rebound when people stop their treatment.
And the way you're describing it, you were able to see the virus in all these different cases, were you?
Surprisingly, yes. We didn't know when we first started this study if we were going to have sensitivity to really find what we would expect to be very low levels of residual viral protein production or virus infection, especially in people with long-term antiretroviral therapy. And I think what we were surprised to see is that we were able to see a signal in various tissues such as lymph nodes, in the gut wall, in the intestine, and in the bone marrow, for example, which was somewhat surprising, even in people who had been on therapy for many, many, many years, suggesting that we're able to identify very, very small amounts of HIV being produced over time.
How precisely can you locate the infected tissue?
You know, it's interesting. We're able to look down into the millimeter range of tissue size. So within lymph nodes, within individual lymph nodes, for example, in the armpit or in the groin, we're getting these sub-tissue ranges of sensitivity.
And I presume that after the decades that people have been living with HIV, biopsies have shown an awful lot of these places in the past. But, I mean, were there any surprises in the research sense that you found where it was hiding? And also, is it going to be clinically useful?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, we did see viral persistence in areas that we expected to see, for example, in the lymph nodes. But we were also seeing signal, for example, in the bone marrow and in other tissues that we don't typically think of as, you know, sites of persistent HIV infection or being important, quote, reservoirs, unquote, of persistent virus. So I think we're certainly learning more about the spatial dynamics of really of how HIV persists, and that will help us direct not just studies to identify and characterize virus, but really identify how these areas may change with certain treatments or certain therapeutic strategies as well.
I mean, I was wondering, is there any way, knowing these things and knowing how to target them, that you could actually eradicate some of this infection?
Oh, absolutely. I think, again, one of the challenges of really curing chronic viral infection is really understanding which tissues they infect and the dynamics of infection within those tissues. This is something that we're lacking, and not just for HIV, but for other viral infections as well. And if we get a better idea of these spatial and temporal dynamics of infection, then we'll certainly be able to evaluate different therapeutic strategies in much more detail.
Well, you've brought me to the other thing which made this so interesting for me is we've been talking a lot over the past 2 years about the persistent infection people may have with COVID and also with other viruses, Epstein-Barr virus and so on. So yeah. Presumably you can adapt this technique to all kinds of infections.
Absolutely. And this is where it gets really exciting. You know, obviously, it's important to have a better understanding of HIV persistence, but this technique can be broadly applied to other viral infections. And in fact, SARS-CoV-2 infection is certainly something that we're actively studying now in folks that have long COVID, folks that have symptoms for months after acute infection. And I think there's growing evidence now from the very limited biopsy studies, which is often the case, suggesting that there is persistent virus within deep tissues. And I think that we have a very little understanding of where the virus is and what type of damage it's doing in those tissues. So that's certainly an excellent example of how we can apply this technique directly and rapidly to an ongoing pandemic. You know, we're learning with SARS-CoV-2 infection, for example, that it's really made us rethink how we think about even acute viral infections. You know, before SARS-CoV-2, we thought coronaviruses or rhinoviruses or influenza was an acute respiratory infection that went away. And now we're seeing that maybe that's not the case. Maybe these, quote, acute viral infections actually do persist in tissues for a certain period of time and cause damage. We know that's the case with HIV, but maybe this is the case for other viruses as well. And this is one of the tools that will enable us to do a deep dive and to really figure out if there's viral persistence, and if so, where in these novel viruses.
Tim Henrich, whose experiments were published recently in Nature Communications. He promised to let us know when the long COVID positron scanning study is concluded. We'll hold you to that, Tim.